Father, we are glad that we can journey with you. It's not that we have to do it all alone. That's what gives us strength, that helps us through tough times, that helps us to face tomorrow, that helps us to go through difficult situations. Not through us alone, but through Christ in me. What a comfort. And we are thankful, Jesus, that you walk with us through this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Leanne, for leading us in worship. And it's actually nice to hear you, to hear all of us sing. So it was really good to hear that. So kids are dismissed to grade 1 and 5, and also youth, grade 6 to 8. You are dismissed into your groups for today. Have you ever had or remember recently an awkward conversation? You know, when you had a conversation and you felt like, oh man, that's not going how I thought it was supposed to be, and I don't know where it's going to go, and you might even sit there and say, I don't even know what to say. One of them that I remember, and I hope my kids will forgive me, but when they're a certain age, you know, when they become teenagers and a little bit above that, life can become a little bit difficult. And it was certainly in our home. And I still remember it was at the time when James Dobson was very popular. Some of you older ones may remember that. So, and there was the good advice that you take your children out for a date. So, and I thought, man, that might be a good idea because we were going through rough spots in our relationships there, and I thought I might take my son for a date. So we went out for a breakfast, you know, went to a restaurant, had a breakfast, and we're sitting there, and I sat across from him and tried to make conversation, and he did not say one word. Talk about an awkward conversation. I didn't know what to do. I was just hopeless, helpless. I thought, man, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to be resolved. We have made up, so don't worry about it. We're okay. We're in talking terms. But it was just a time when it was quite difficult. Relationships are difficult, aren't they? Relationships are difficult. They're complicated. And they're sometimes hard to maintain a good relationship. And any relationship at some point of time hits a rough spot where we have to get through it, or it breaks up, or we just live with grudges and move on and try to avoid one another. And you know, relationships is something that is not really easy to maintain, at least over a long period of time. And that's why I always find it very amazing if marriages last long. You know, it's not an easy thing. You know, it takes time, it takes work. And it takes a lot of communication, talk. And this morning we are invited to listen into a very intimate talk, not between couples, but between two men. And that makes it even more awkward in some ways, because what they're talking about. It's so unmanlike what they talk about in this conversation. And some say it's the most remarkable interchange in the entire Bible, and some even say in the entire literature, that this conversation that we're about to listen into. Here it is. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he will glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. as I said before, a most unlike and most unmanly conversation. Men don't talk about love between each other. Not normally. You know, that's not what you do when you sit, you know, when you play golf, you know, or any other conversation that you have at the table. But here it is. Here is this conversation that is recorded in John, which has a very specific meaning. And those who are more familiar with the biblical context know that this story has some obvious connection to some previous events. The three questions that Jesus posed to Peter obviously correspond to Peter denying to know Jesus when his own life was potentially on the line. Then also the first question that Jesus asked clearly points to the fact that Peter at some point of time thought that he was more loyal to Jesus than any one of the other friends that surrounded Jesus. If all leave you, I will not. Jesus, you can count on me. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? Ooh. Interesting that Peter didn't pipe up and say, oh, sure. You know that I do. Nope. Didn't come out his mouth this time. It also may, some commentators point out to that, it also may be that the conversation happened by the fire may also have triggered in Peter some memories. Isn't that so that sometimes smells and situations bring up memories? And it was by the fire that he denied Jesus. That when that lady asked him there, well, you were one of them who was with Jesus. No, I don't know Jesus. And that here they sit again by the fire and that whole thing comes up again. The familiarity with the text for us or those who have or know this text have heard about it also makes us expect the outcome that the text has. The answer that Peter gives as we read it. We know how it all comes out. We know what Peter answers. But here's the question that while I was thinking about this text and talking with somebody else about this text, that occurred to me. What if Peter would have said no? Peter, do you love me? No. Or, I'm not sure. Or, let me think about this. What if that would have, wouldn't that be a reaction that would be possible at least? To have another outcome and another answer, maybe a surprising answer? Can we take it for granted that Peter answers the way he does? Sure, I love you. You know that I love you. Can we really expect Peter to say what he said? Would we do the same? If you start thinking about Jesus' question, Peter, do you love me? It has the potential for an awkward response. And you wonder sometimes, did Peter struggle to find the answer? Was it right there? Was it that he had to appease Jesus? You know, we all probably would understand that you cannot walk up to somebody randomly and ask this person, do you love me? Just try that. Go in a restaurant, ask the server, do you love me? And they're like, what? You know, so you cannot do this. So this whole question in itself, and here's our first point, requires a context. And out of this context, this question makes sense. And we have to consider this even and especially in our text here if we would like to answer this question. And if you or me at the end would answer that question, it needs context. It needs the context in which I ask this question because otherwise it doesn't make sense. It can be even offensive. And the context also determines how this question is asked and how it is answered. Do you love me requires a pre-existing relationship. As I said, you cannot walk up to a person and ask that. It's very inappropriate. But if there is a pre-existing relationship, then this answer makes, the question makes sense, and also the answer will then, will be the right interpretation of what it is. You can, for example, imagine this question to be asked between spouses, where one spouse may ask, do you love me? It would be good to question that every so often, isn't it? Or sometimes we have the marriage vows, you know, I said to you, I love you once, and if it changes, I'll let you know. No, it's like we need to hear that. And sometimes we have to hear that answer and we have to ask this question. So this could be a context in which this question makes sense. Do you love me? And especially, like in this text, when my spouse would call me by my name. You always know something is up. I know something is up, but Rose calls me by my name. And maybe even with my last name as well. Then I know it's serious. You better listen. Or it could be between child and parent, where there is this need of affirmation. Do you love me? A child may ask her dad, her mom, do you love me? And you're challenged to give this answer, or you ask your child, do you love me? We also know that this question can be used in a very manipulative way. You know, it can be used in the context of bringing out the garbage. Do you love me? Then you would bring out the garbage. Or whatever. So it's very manipulative, in a manipulative way, that you can also use this question. So do you see how context is relevant, how you ask this, when you ask this, and how you answer that? And there was certainly history between Peter and Jesus. There was some history between them that was very evident. And for Peter, it was this realization, love did not die on the cross and did not stay in the grave. Then the whole chapter could have been easily closed and said, done with it. Man, messed up, bad time, wasn't good. Well, it's over, let's move on. And that's what it looks like if you read the story, the context. When Peter and the other disciples decided to go fishing again and just said, that chapter's closed, they couldn't deal with this whole resurrection thing. But now that Jesus rose from the dead, the chapter was still open. It wasn't closed. The relationship was still on the table and it needed to be dealt with. It was still something that needed to be addressed. It could not be just left on its own. There was obviously also hurt. Ever thought about the fact that how his earlier comments may have affected the other disciples when he bragged about how loyal he is to Jesus? Well, Jesus, you can count on me. I mean, you think about any kind of relationship when you're together with friends and one comes up and feels like he's better than the rest of them. What does it make you feel? Do you think there was hurt among the disciples and some kind of, well, Peter, again? There was broken promises. There was denial. There was betrayal of a good friend. There was a lot of pride in Peter's attitude. There was disappointment. There were 3 years of friendship that were undone by words. Words of denial. And you know how that goes, that any relationship has the potential to be broken, no matter how long that relationship has been, can be broken by a word, by an unwise sentence, by an unwise behavior. It can be all undone in a moment. And then you start from scratch, rebuilding, if ever. Here in our context, it was simply Peter denied to know Jesus because he needed to save his own skin. At least he felt like that. It was pure selfishness to think of himself and say, oh, I don't want to deal with this. You know, Jesus is about to be crucified and condemned and crucified, and they could put me up there as well. So it was pure self-preservation and selfishness. And we know from our own experience that selfishness ruins the best relationship. It is also that ingredient that makes every relationship difficult. It's the inherent selfishness that we all bring to the table. We all have to struggle in some form or the other with that and have to deal with this, that our own inherent selfishness needs to be stopped in order to truly reach out to the person that I'm loving or that I'm living with. And the nature of Peter's selfishness becomes even more evident in the presence of a Jesus who is about to give his life for Peter in pure selflessness. When Jesus asks for love, he asked exactly for that kind of love that gives. Some of the things are lost in translation when we read this text. There's different words that are used that Jesus asked with a different word than Peter answers. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, with this self-giving kind of love that was demonstrated, and it's usually used, this kind of word, in the context of God and loving us with his self-giving, unconditional love. And he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter is only able to answer with, I love you as a good friend. I love you as a good friend. So the other thing that we see in this story is also that this conversation reveals Jesus' heart. After all that went down between Peter and Jesus, having invested in his life for 3 years, having shown him unconditional love over and over, and especially Peter, who has been at the receiving end of that many times, where Jesus reached out to him and didn't let him fall and didn't let him slip and restored him and even overlooked his pride and his self-confidence. And then when he experienced Peter denying him flat out at the most crucial moment in Jesus' life, Jesus could have done many other things in this moment. He could have asked many other questions at this time. Peter, do you know what you have done? Do you realize what you have done to me? Do you know how much it hurt me? Would that not be fair to ask this question? Do you know that the impact that your pride made on your friends at that very moment and how they look at you right now? Was saving your own skin more important than the life of a good friend? Oh, Jesus could have shamed him here in front of all of them, and he would have deserved every bit of it. He would have deserved it to be called out and to say, shame on you, Peter. You did let me down and your best friend down. You don't deserve to be part of this group. There could have been anger on Jesus' part. There could have been disappointment. There could have been bitterness. There could have been disillusionment. There could have been resentment in Jesus' heart. He could have turned it all into a lesson on humility and to show how to put oneself not over others. He could have pointed out what Jesus' original answer revealed about Peter feeling a little bit above everyone else. Jesus could have, but he didn't. It could have revealed a different Jesus. It could have revealed a vindictive Jesus who gets even when wronged. It could have revealed a passive-aggressive Jesus who doesn't address the thing right away, but somehow, you know, gets it to him. It could have been a Jesus who holds grudges, and we have to appease him. But Jesus can look past Peter's shameful denial. Do you love me? Jesus reveals the Father's heart. It's almost he can't help it but, because it says in the text in John and 1 John, God is love. And in this difficult conversation, this restorative conversation, and this conversation that where so much is at stake, where so much hurt and pain was inflicted, Jesus revealed the Father's heart. It is this kind of love that lays down its life for a friend. It is this kind of love that sacrifices its one and only Son so that people don't perish. It is this kind of love that pursues Peter even after he failed miserably. It is this kind of love that looks out for Peter even though Peter should have come to Jesus first. He should have been the first step to apologize and say, that was wrong. But love goes out and reaches Peter first. It is this kind of love that could pray for those who nailed him to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. Look at what he does. Look how he deals with betrayal and denial and failure of good friends and people that he invested in. Look how he acts and what he does. It is this kind of God, this kind of love that stands before Peter in this moment. And it is this kind of love that stands before you and me. It is this kind of love that runs after us when we have denied Jesus. It is this kind of love that looks for love, not for perfection, not for shame, not for self-judgment, not for getting it right all the time, not for being always proper. It is this kind of love that pursues us and looks in us and in you for love. It looks for that which goes on deep in our heart. That's what is revealed in this story. The heart of Jesus, the heart of God. And in this conversation, it at the same time reveals our inner thoughts. Peter reveals what's going on inside him, in spite of what he's done. Jesus' question draws out Peter's thinking and feeling. He also could, as we have mentioned before, reacted many other ways. He could have been revealing coldness. I don't care. It just happened. It could have revealed indifference. I don't care what happens with that. It's done. I'll move on. But it sounds almost contradictory. But Peter still could say he loves Jesus. He still loves Jesus in spite of what he has done. And it sounds like an oxymoron, a contradiction. How can you say that? I mean, you just did the most shameful thing. You just, you know, denied to ever know him. And then you say, when he asks you, do you love me? And you say, yes, you know that I love you. But isn't that true for us as well? I mean, I look again about a marriage relationship. You can do sometimes something very hurtful to your spouse. And we do. I mean, unless your marriage is perfect, then excuse me. But we do. Sometimes we say certain things a certain way deliberately. We know that full well because it has to hurt. It has to sting. But you would also admit at the same time, but you still love that person. There's still something in you that you hold on to this. And you still love this person in spite of what you're doing, in spite of your meanness, in spite of your mean action and your even denial or whatever it is that brings hurt and pain to the other person. You still have that inner sense of, yes, I do love it. It would be horrible if this person would now turn away from me and leave me alone. Jesus digs deep here. He doesn't just ask once. And Peter says, yeah, let's go and have dessert. No, he asked three times. And as I mentioned before, he addresses Peter with his birth name, Simon, son of John. And I think at that moment, Peter knows it's business. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter stands here for all that he is, a fisherman, a son of a father, an earthly father, member of a family. All his humanness is revealed in these two phrases, Simon, son of John. If you will, it's naked, without anything that will clothe him. And he is open to Jesus. And Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, you know that I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And the interesting fact is that the third time Jesus comes down to the level of Peter and asks with the same word of love that Peter answers, do you love me as a friend? And Peter breaks down. The answer reveals how Peter felt after he let Jesus down. It reveals how he feels about himself. In the end, there was no self-loathing or self-condemnation. It was simply, Jesus, I love you. I do. And as I said before, ask this question three times. It cuts through the fluff. It cuts through the quick and easy. It's going deep. And here's one more. Sometimes we need to say it. We need to say it. When have you the last time said it to Jesus? Jesus, I love you. It's sometimes that it amazes ourselves what goes through our lips and over our lips that we have to come to grips with that and say, this is what I am and who I am. When have you stood before Jesus, the pure love, and confessed to him that you loved him in spite of what you've done? And it's usually when we're not at our finest. It's when we are there at the fire. When we have given up on all of that, when we have done wrong, when we have let them down, when we have failed, when we have all reasons to condemn ourselves, that Jesus comes and stands before us and asks us this question. And lastly, this conversation lays the foundation for ministry. It is interesting that Jesus gives Peter a job after all that happened between them. All discipleship training, if you will, boils down to one thing, and that is love. All failures are covered with love. Peter wasn't perfect after this event. He was not the apostle who got everything right from now on and everything was perfect how he conducted his apostleship. In fact, God had to prod him to do what he was supposed to do when he was called to go to the Cornelius, the officer from the Roman army, where he had to overcome all his the feelings that he had as a Jew not to ever have any relationship with Gentiles. God had to prod him in spite of what he had told him before. He wasn't perfect. And then when he was intimidated by how his fellow Jews think about the fact that he eats with Gentiles, and Paul had to call him back to order in Galatians 2, Peter wasn't perfect. But one thing was there. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. There was room for correction. There was room for restoration. There was room even later on in his life to be called to confess and to put things right, because there was the basis of love. And this love eventually, according to church history, led him to give his life for Jesus. One thing he certainly did, what Jesus told him to do, take care of my sheep. That's what he did. Since we're in this candidating process, and I'm done with this obviously now, I often wonder, would he make the cut? Would he make the cut with those blatant failures? Or can we see past that and see if there is love for Jesus? Now, let me ask today, how about you? What would be your answer if Jesus would come before you and you stood with him face to face? He would look you right into your eyes. No escaping. And he would say, Egbert Lübeck, do you love me? What would be the honest answer? Would we be able to be honest and say, actually, no? Or, I'm not sure. What would Jesus do, by the way? Would he turn around and walk away? Well, he had those moments in his life. People said no to him. There was a slight no, like the one of Thomas, you know, when he said, well, I don't believe all that stuff, you know, with the resurrection. And Jesus comes and appears to Thomas and says, here, Thomas, here I am. And then when Jesus has one of his most impactful sermons in John 6, and people find it hard what he had to say about this whole thing, because they wanted to have somebody who multiplies bread and multiplies fish so that we don't have to go to the store and buy. That's the kind of pastor we want to have. This is the kind of Messiah we want to have. And then Jesus talks about what it really takes to follow him. And then it says a whole bunch of his disciples left him. They said, no, sorry. And the interesting thing of the story, read it in John 6 at the very end. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, do you want to leave me too? You can. So what I learned from this, you are allowed to say no. You are. You are allowed to say no when Jesus stands before you and you cannot answer that question honestly. But you will not manipulate Jesus that he will stop loving you. He will. He will continue to love you. You will be allowed to see whatever you need to say. And I would need to encourage you to be honest with that. Do you love me? Well, I still need to figure that out. Well, then do so. Then continue on this journey. It is a journey. Or he would say, Jesus, do you love me? And say, Jesus, you don't know who I am. You don't know how many times I've messed up. You don't know how many things I have done wrong, how many people I've wronged, and how many relationships are broken, and how prideful I am, and how sinful I am, and how many things I have done, Jesus. You have no idea. But Jesus stands there and says, do you love me? Friend, I don't ask you all of that. I ask you, do you love me? And if there's an inkling in you that you can say yes, he will welcome you with open arms. When Jesus stands before you today, what will be your answer? Paul describes love this way in 1 Corinthians. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus is this. and he stands before you and me as that. This kind of love person who shows this love, and love never coerces. Love never manipulates. Love never is used as a tool to get what I want. Love gives freedom of choice, and God will let you choose. And the only appropriate response to this kind of love is love. What's going to be your answer? Let's pray. Jesus, we stand before you today, and it's hard for us to understand why in all the world you would not give up on us. Why you didn't give up on Peter. I mean, you have been so good to him. You have been with him 3 years, have invested in his life, and then he does this kind of stuff at the end of his life on his journey with you. And here you are coming back to him and you restore this relationship by simply asking, do you love me? And Jesus, that gives me and that gives us hope. Because our lives are by far not perfect. We have so many things that we could add to the list of where we have disappointed you. And in this story, it makes us aware that you are a God who pursues us, a God who will not leave us alone, a God who comes to us and loves us without forcing us, without manipulating us. You just come and you love us and you ask us, what is it that our answer is going to be? God, you know who we are today here in this place. You know where we are on this journey if we would have to give an honest answer. And it's so good that we can give you an honest answer. You allow us this freedom. But let it be also a challenge to all of us to be in love with you and to let this be the basis of our relationship, that we love you, that this also is the basis of all that we do in your kingdom, all that we do as fathers and mothers, as children and parents, as co-workers, employees, neighbors, that we are people who are driven and influenced by someone who is loving them without any boundaries. Thank you, Jesus. That gives us value, that gives us helps us to accept ourselves, that is true, that we find healing in your love. So help us on this journey, Jesus, that we follow you because we love you. And let this be a decision that we make today to be following you because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.